to be your sanctuary. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be your baby. Thanks you were before you. Sing it unto him now. Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary. Pure and holy, be tried and true. That's your desire. With thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary before you. Amen and amen, to be a sanctuary for the Lord. Amen. Is that your desire? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Glad to have our visitor back there with us. We always say when you're a visitor here one time, you're counted a visitor. Come two times, you're just part of us. But we don't have anything to join up with or do anything. We're just part of the body of Jesus Christ. But we're glad to have you with us, and I always say to you, welcome in this fellowship and have a good time with us. Amen. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to 2 Peter 1, 2 Peter 1, and we'll read from there. I want to thank everybody very much for all of the birthday presents and things that you gave me on my birthday time there last weekend. We appreciate it. Appreciate all the things and the concern and all. We appreciate it. Remember, too, Brother Sweeting, I know you've prayed for him, but Brother Jay Sweeting is in the hospital at Gainesville in the Ronnie Green heart part of it. For he had a stroke as they were doing the procedure of doing a stent, putting it in his neck. It broke loose and caused him to have a stroke. So just remember him, because there is Sister Sweeting trying to take care of the baby, and he was mainly the one that was trying to take care of their grandbaby and everything. But now he's not there, so you know, just pray for him that the Lord would touch him and bring him on out of it and make everything all right. We went up to see him Friday. And he was knowledgeable, but he couldn't talk or anything. So it's a lot of problem. Just remember that, Brother Sweeting. Also, we have a great announcement. Brother Richard Wilson and him up there in Tennessee has been looking for a church for quite a while. So as of right now, it looks like they've bought them a church, you know, and everything. So I was talking to him this morning. He said it would be perfect for what they had. It's not too far. It's about the same distance where it was. And everything from them and all, and you know, they're just thankful that God has given them an opportunity to purchase a building where they can have it. They've been like, a lot has been done. They was having to rent for a long time, you know, and all. But just remember that, and also remember now that Brother Eric Marlowe, his today is his first time of starting his services up there in Tocoa, and you know, we went up the other day and helped him with hauling his pews and putting them in and everything, and we pray that God will bless him and just give him a souls for the labor, you know, because you never know where you're going and what you're doing. We got a note I did back there from Brother Joe a while ago on the internet that a man, and I forgot where it was, maybe he'll think of it, but anyhow, I've sent my thing, that a man sent us a note and thanked us for the message that we're trying to bring on the internet. And things that he had come to the Lord. He was formerly a Catholic, and he had come to the Lord because of the ministry and the preaching of the truth. So thank God for that. You know, the word will get out, so we pray that God will bless. Now, is anybody else, anything else? We possibly may have a visiting preacher with us Wednesday. Brother Bartley from Jamaica is, you know, in, he's supposed to be here somewhere, but he hadn't gotten in touch with me yet, so that's... That's what he needs to do. That was his first point, but he's talked to everybody else but me. Now, he may not be here, so I'm just saying that He may be with us Wednesday to preach for us. Amen? So, 2 Peter 1. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we cherish your presence, because without you there would be no need of us gathering. As without you there would be none of us. We wouldn't even be in existence. We wouldn't have life. We wouldn't have natural things. We thank you for all of the things that you've given unto us, and we pray that you'd bless. Bless Wade there, and Lord, in Oklahoma this weekend as he's ministering, and just touch him, Father, that you may speak to his heart. And Brother Dean's not here today, so maybe he's out ministering somewhere. We pray that you would just bless and guide each and every one and show us all your love. We need you, and we cherish you. So as we read your word, Father, you come and you speak to our hearts, because that's our desire. That's why we come today. And we thank you for all of it. We love you, and just keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 11. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace be unto be grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance, see, it's a promise, now what? For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. We have an announcement too. Wait, brother, let me give these out. Brother Ron Spencer will be having his regular Labor Day meeting on August the 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st. And Brother Joe Green will be speaking on the Thursday night, because it'll be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Brother Joe Green will be preaching on the Thursday night, and Brother Eddie Bisco will be speaking on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and you're invited to come and be with them to their annual meeting. So we'll just leave this up here, and if you have any needs, you can get telephone numbers and things off of it. All right? Now, this has... We've had some... comments, because I do this a lot, you know, and I open up and just invite you to tell me what's on your heart, and, you know, to let me know kind of how or what you want me to speak on, because that doesn't bother me for you to ask me to speak about a certain thing. I'll speak on that, but in the middle of all of it, I may just stop and say, now, God, give me this message, you know, because that's the way I do. I try to be led of what he wants me to do, but if you want me to speak upon some topic or some thought, just give me a card or a note, and I'll be glad to try to speak on it. We've been on tithing. We've been on many different things, you know, of doing and trying to cover it, because it was requested. And this was a request to speak on what is formerly called by most of us, the believers in the message, called the stature of a perfect man. Well, then we'll try our best to speak on it. We'll try not to... you know, to be too lengthy, because it's just asking somebody requesting that this be done, and we have the tapes already that we've spoken many times upon this topic, but we'll try our best to cover anything you ask us to speak on. We've got one that's left for marriage and divorce, so that will be a good one, and, you know, we'll try our best to speak as much as we can and bring to you what we believe, because we're believing that God sent us a prophet, and we believe that he... being the prophet of the end time, then it's the message that he sent is to be what is to be divided out or given out by the ministry. But we don't believe that he is the entire fivefold ministry. We believe there is a fivefold ministry. All right? And it, we believe what the Bible says in Ephesians 4 about the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints. But now, just remember what we believe. If the fivefold ministry don't preach according to the prophet, then it's false teachers. Or, see, and you remember what I gave you? I think I've got it back in here again, that false prophets bring false birth. False preachers, whether it be the fivefold ministry, see, you know, whatever it be, you know, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teachers, if they're false, then they're hirelings, see, and they won't be carrying the message correctly, all right? But if they're true ministries, they will always bring you, to you what the prophet has already brought unto us. We thank God for that that opportunity that we have now, not to where we say, what is your big word we have today, you know, what is your input, you know. We didn't use that when we were old people, you know. I mean, back 40 years ago, we didn't know what input was. But see, these modern words, you know, what is your input into this? Well, I don't have an input. I have what's been put in. I have what's been put in by the prophet to bring unto the people the message of the hour that we believe. All right? See, then that way, we don't have any trouble. We just find what he says and try to bring it to you, and that way we pass it out and let you read it. And thank God for the truth. All right. Now, see, to speak on the topic like would be spoken on of the stature of a perfect man, remember there's only one perfect man, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. But now by divine impartation or by a new birth coming to us, see, it brings us into the position that we can be, now listen to what I'm saying, by the new birth, we can be just as perfect as he is. Now that stumbles a lot of people if you talk about perfection, but just remember, it's what he says you are. It's what he makes you. It's not what you think or what you studied or done. It's what God has made you. So if he's made you his child, he has given you eternal life. All right? And see, stature means height. Now, in the Old Testament, basic most of the words, it's used, I think, 17 times in the Bible the word stature, S-T-A-T-U-R-E, stature. In the Old Testament, the basic word of that is like a growth development. All right? Like, it doesn't refer to Samson, but it, you know, and things like that, but because he was a little feller, but it refers, and the word is not used even about Goliath, but it's used about when, like David, when he was hunting out a man, the Samuel was to anoint to be king. He started, one was a big, you remember the first one of the sons of Jesse was a great big guy. So he looked like he'd be the right one. Said he was big in stature, you know, big fella. But he was rejected. See, the word stature means height. All right? Growth, height. Okay? And that brings it to the position that it means that, you know, someone of great stature. But it can also mean someone of great stature in the basics of, you know, what kind of a person you are. In the Old Testament, it could be used as a word like to be referring to someone of stature, meaning the not how big they are, but what has been attributed to them or what they've obtained. See, like you can say today, you can say the governor of the state of Georgia, that is his stature. He has attained unto that place because of coming up. Not mean how tall he is, but it means the growth development or the measurement that you're going by. But in the New Testament, you'll find that it attributes like Jesus in Luke 2 and 52 and says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. It didn't really mean he growed up. It meant he growed up in the spiritual sense. See? It was the growth development of the spiritual sense because the New Testament one is more like a maturity. See, it comes on into a greater, better word in the New Testament. It's the same as in the Old Testament, but it comes into a greater form to refer to like maturity or like a time of age or some position you've reached. And you remember Jesus in Matthew 6:27 said, who of you that can add any one cubit to your stature? See? Because that's still referring to height developments and stuff like that. But it also, see, it keeps coming on in. And it's even used like in Luke 19 in verse 3 about Zacchaeus because he was little in stature. See? Small, you know. So it's got the same meaning, the Old and the New Testament. But the point I want you to get, the New Testament brings it more into a, like a maturity, you know, a development that you've achieved. Okay? Maturity. See, just like Jesus is, we're using that word perfect. The word perfect in Matthew 5:48. See, be ye therefore perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's not dealing with how good you are. See? That word perfect there means complete. Are of full age. See? Maturity, development that has been made. See? And that's why everybody's arguing about, oh, you think you perfect? Well, if God says I am, I am. Now, if I say I am, I'm not. Right? If I say I'm perfect, I'm not perfect. Because I don't have anything to do with a part of me being perfect. And I never could be perfect. But if he says I'm perfect, alright, then that blood atonement is what I'm dependent upon. See, I'm dependent upon what he's made me. And what he's made me, see, I'm not to take what I am. I'm to try to change what I am as far as if I'm a thief, just quit stealing. That's the easiest way to do it. If you're smoking, just quit smoking. That's the easiest thing to do. But that still don't save you. All right? But see, the stature of a perfect man then, as Peter is laying out, is how to come to a position, okay, into a perfect man, the measure, see, of the stature, and let's read that one, Ephesians 4, to the measure of the stature, having trouble finding Ephesians. Ephesians 4, go with about verse 11. Because that is the fivefold ministry that it's talking about. You know, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You know, see. All right, what for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, that's just not coming to a position of knowing about God. It's becoming to a position of a new birth and a growth development. See? Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So now it doesn't matter how tall you are. It doesn't matter what you've achieved in the world. You know, president, governor, ruler, whatever. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about in the spiritual kingdom. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? So then we've got a long ways to go to come to a position to see how to attain unto the stature of a perfect man. All right, the prophet preached a message on that, and if you would, I'd ask you to please read that message and then read blasphemous names to go with it. Listen to the tapes or whatever you can do, because we'll be dealing with this for probably 4 or 5 services, you know, just talking on the things of the stature of a perfect man or how to come to that place. But now, listen. A lot of people think that the day you're born again, you know, they got the old Baptist theology that we came up through, that I got everything when I believed. Well, they just change it in the message, you know. And they say, when I got born again, I got all these virtues and things. I just got born again, you know. I got everything. Well, that's a good old Baptist doctrine. But that won't work, see. Because Peter, see, in the scriptures, Peter was laying out to the people how to become to where that he was. Because the Bible says the husbandman must be first partaker of the fruit. So Peter partook of the fruit. Then now he's trying to tell us how to partake of it, to grow into the stature, as we call it, on the pyramid of the perfect man. All right? And to do that will require that we have faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then the headstone of love will be the completion of the stature of a perfect man. All right. Peter and those brethren back there may have not attained unto the headstone because it had not been given. Now that's what the words of the prophet is it, because it was not required in that day, but they were at the growth development called the faith of the fathers. They were in the upper room. They were trained for 3.5 years, tutored for 3.5 years by the Lord Jesus in the upper room. When the Holy Ghost fell, it made them to be where you would say on here where it says Holy Spirit. And they would have all of these virtues within them as their new birth because they were birthed at that position. But then when you go downstairs of the 3,000, they were not tutored. They only heard the message that day. So where were they born? They were born again at faith, as we'll get to it this afternoon. They were born again right here. They didn't get these virtues because the only way you can get those virtues is the opening of God's Word. Because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word. All right. So then you got to deal with a position. And in dealing with a position, you see Peter and them at a position teaching. See, Paul reached this position. And Peter would be there. And see, he would show it by saying, you know, that we need to be being born again. See, something going on, always going on within our lives. See, and not just getting everything when we believed, or not doing as the people of the message now say, that, well, always was eternal. Well, if you always was eternal, and I know the prophet said that, I believe what he said. But if you place that in the wrong way, you're saying you don't need salvation. All right? But if you place it in the correct way and to say that I am born again, then the eternal life that I have in me always was eternal. Right. But I didn't have it.
Right.
It was not a possession within me because you'd have to change the whole Bible and you'd have to say on the day of Pentecost that they got up and read them a book and told them how perfect they were. And everybody went out. That was what Peter or somebody, Brother Branham said. One of the disciples said, let's just take it by faith. Right? You remember that? In the upper room, let's just take it by faith. Let's just walk out. We've been here. We've heard the message. We know all about what Jesus has said. Let's just take it by faith. But somebody was spiritual enough to say, wait just a minute. We haven't received the promise from on high yet that he promised to us. So we'll stay here until. All right. See, then that put it all into perfect order. But now listen. Before you start the development of anything, it's just like a baby being born. You know, you got to get the baby here. Now, I know, and we were talking about this last night in the Bible study, really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed Brother Harris's message this past Wednesday. I would invite you to make sure you listen to it. All right? If you wasn't here, I'd please ask you to just listen to the message. I really enjoyed it. All right? But see, we were talking about this last night. When a baby is conceived in the womb of a mother, sure, there's wiggling muscles, there's heartbeats, there's all kind of things. They suck their thumb, they cry, they do things like that. But, see, we believe in a message that has told us the truth. Science says the baby's alive. See? But yet the prophet, when he said it, he said the baby is not alive, it's just like any animal laying in the womb of its mother. It's just like a dog in the womb of its mother. It wiggles, it has a heartbeat, it has everything. It grows higher, it does everything before it's born. All right? But see, the prophet said that we don't receive life until he breathes into our nostrils and we become a living soul. All right. So when the baby is dropped from the mother's womb, see, and it comes forth, then when the life comes in, it's a living soul. All right. Now that is like your new birth. That is like your new birth. We'll get more to this afternoon. But see, in your new birth, you come through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the new birth. All right? See, that's water, blood, life, like the natural baby. See, when the baby comes into the world, then it receives life. See, when you and I reach the position of justification, sanctification, and receive the new birth, the life, then we become babes in Christ, as Peter would say, desiring the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. So the 3,000 outside, on the day of Pentecost, they never receive the Holy Spirit up there where it says Holy Spirit. That's why the prophet in the message, he said, you've come all this way and ain't got the Holy Ghost yet. What's he doing? He's talking about the Holy Ghost in a position. Until we receive that new birth, we're not even in the body of Christ. We're not in the kingdom without the new birth. All right. So I don't want to spend much on that because I want you to see. But still, that baby, when that baby is born, it's got ever finger. You don't grow extra unless something abnormally happens. You don't grow another finger. You don't grow another eyeball. You don't grow another ear or something. It has all of the products there, but it's not within use of the child. And I love to see a baby when it first, you know, has it going around and his eyes are all starting, and all at once it sees its hand and it, hey, something's happening. You know, see, they begin to develop. That's the maturity, see, the stages of development. And then see, in like the stature of a perfect man, God didn't use a novice. There's not a writer that wasn't in the upper room that wrote in the Bible in the New Testament except the Apostle Paul. And Paul went to the backside of the desert. See? And God trained him up the stature of a perfect man. And when he come out, he was saying exactly what Peter was. See? All right, because Paul was the apostle or prophet brought into to be the church age messenger, but not only that, see, he was in that line that God could teach him. He didn't hear Jesus verbally speaking, but he believed what he heard about what had happened because his new birth was the birth of that word that we'll get to it this afternoon. All right, but see, we've got to come to that stature of a perfect man to walk off the earth in a rapture. And it's not that we maybe need to. Brother Branham said in the stature of a perfect man, he said, these are the requirements of this age. Now Luther, Wesley, wasn't required what we're required. See? But we're required to reach a position. Because the headstone, just because you're born in a Laodicean age, it doesn't mean you automatically get the headstone. See? Brother Branham was born into it. He didn't automatically get any adoption, did he? He had to grow into it until it come to a position to where the seals could be broke to the prophet and the things could happen. See? But see, we then must start at a position. And what is that position we start at? Now just like a natural baby gets a start. It starts in life. When it receives that breath of life, it starts. It becomes a living soul. All right. Now, when you receive the new birth, you become a living soul. You say, well, what are you before then? Dead. The Bible says you're dead while you're living. I mean, do you have any problem with that? Because, see, anybody that's not in the, has the new birth is dead. Now, that means they're laid up dead. You're dead in the basis that you don't have life. You're not a new creature in Christ Jesus, as Paul in the Corinthians, until you receive that new birth. Then you become a new creature, a new creation. All right. Then you're in the body of Christ by the new birth. And the Old Testament people were not in the body of Christ because Jesus Christ had not come and given his life. So they didn't have eternal life as a possession in their soul. They could only be anointed upon their being.
That's right.
To make manifest. And thank God how much they've done with that. Now how much should we meet more with the new birth? Alright. Now Peter, this is the point I want you to get this morning. Peter in verse 1. Yeah. 2 Peter verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have. Now have is a past tense, right? Not to them that will, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I gave you quotes there that we'll get to in a minute. This is not written to the world. the Bible is not written to the world. A sinner can only take the Bible and read it and realize he's lost. That's all it can do for him. It can only bring him under conviction to realize that he's lost. It cannot be made alive to a sinner. You say, well, I got this and I got that for you. That's all right. But what you got was a quickening of what God wanted to give you for the time. You remember the little woman at the well? Brother Brown said she had, that touched his body and said she had faith for the time. All right. God can speak to you. I agree. I believe that. I believe he spoke to me when I was in the Baptist. And I've always told you, I didn't get the new birth till I come in this message. So I wasn't holding on to the old Baptist doctrine that I got everything when I believed. See, I didn't believe that then, and I don't believe it now. I believe if you keep on believing, you're going to get it. Yeah. But you don't get everything when you believe. Because even Jesus grew in stature, so if he grew in that, surely you and I are going to have to. I don't believe Brother Branham come into the world. I know he was born to prophet. Yeah. Saw visions at 18 months old. Yes, I believe that. But he had to be born again one day. He said he did. Right. So that's his word. And he had to grow into the things before God. He preached the seals in the 50s. But then he come back and preached it again when God met him, see, and told him to go forth. All right? But see, now get what I'm talking about. Before you start any height development, you've got to find a place to start. All right? So you start like a natural baby. Get the baby into the world. All right? It's hooked up to mama until then. Then it comes forth. Now it's totally dependent upon something else. You've got to feed it. All right? You don't have no naval core left that you can keep poured into. Yeah. You've got to feed it. All right? So that's what we do in the new birth. Get the new birth. The most important thing in the world is whether or not you're born again. Because if you're not born again, you're not in line for any of the promises of God. And see, Peter was saying, I have received this faith. You see what he was saying? To them that have obtained like precious faith with us. All right, now he's got faith. So he's saying, now with us. Okay, now remember what I'm saying. See, you can read that and say, well, when I'm born again, Peter got it up here. Peter got it up here. See, that's why it's so important to understand the lineup of the scriptures to know. If Peter got it there, why was he telling you how to get there? Now he got it there, but you understand what I'm saying? That was his new birth. But now he's trying to tell you and I to come where he was. The position that he had attained. He attained that position by walking with the Lord for 3.5 years. And when the Holy Ghost fell, it quickened what the word he had, and the birth was on account of that. Just like in the days of Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith. That was the new birth of that day, but that didn't put him into faith of the fathers. He was still a Trinitarian, drank beer and sat in a pub and smoked a pipe. That didn't put him at play, but it put him in the body for the day he was living. It gave him the new birth of his day because it was faith. The just shall live by faith. See, because that's where you're born again at it, faith. All right, but then you're being born again, which means you're just keeping right on. Because a baby is born, but then the baby just keeps on growing. See? From all of the products that's there, it grows until it develops into a 6'6" or something. And, it becomes a grown-up or an adult. And see, now watch now. Peter is addressing this to those that have obtained like precious faith. All right, now. Look what I'm talking about. I gave it to you. See if I can find mine. I'll read these right now to where we can get it. Now listen to what the prophet had to say. That's why I like to read what he says. They don't have no problem. Right? So this is off of page 7, A Stature of a Perfect Man, preached 1962, 10:14 in the morning. And he said, now, let us read now, 2 Peter, the first chapter, portion of it. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I like the way that's stated right there, because my whole subject this morning is based on faith. See, let me read that again. Listen close. Simon Peter, a servant apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice he is saying, I have obtained this faith, and I'm addressing this to them that has attained the like precious faith. It's not to the outside world. This is to the church, those that are in Christ. All right. Now, the Bible is not written to the sinner. As I said a moment ago, it's only written that he can read to realize he's a sinner. He can read it and realize he's a sinner. But it's not written to him at that position because he's not in line. He must get born again.
Amen.
Then it can be written like the scripture says, and I gave you one in there where the prophet was using it, but it's like unto the saints at Ephesus. Of course, the Catholic belief you can't be a saint till you're dead. Right? Well, see, if you can't be a saint till you're dead, Peter sure had problems writing to him, or Paul did, because he's dead. I mean, that's a problem. But, see, saints means sanctified ones, or born again ones. See, what makes you a saint? The new birth. Makes all of us saints. Not like the Catholic calling her saints. See? But it makes us a born again Christian. All right, now watch it. Just continue reading on down, because it's the same going on down, of the stature of a perfect man. Let that slope real deep now. Not preaching this morning, we're just teaching this lesson, divine nature. Let me read that fourth verse again now, so you won't miss it. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature, having, now already taken place, escaped, already passed, the corruption that is in the world through lust. Look now. See, the world, we've escaped that now. He's addressing this to the church. Now, you're going to read the rest of it, because I give it to you to try to get you to where you'll see the before and the after. But it's addressed to those that are in Christ Jesus. How do you get in Christ Jesus? By the new birth. Peter had the new birth. Now he was going to tell others that received the new birth on the day of Pentecost or somewhere thereabouts. He's teaching now how for them to grow development can take place. Not telling them they're already up where he's at. He's telling them that they have a like precious faith. Because he did. He had a like precious faith. He had faith. He was born again. And he was telling them how to come to a place after you're born again. Prophet one time said these virtues after you're born again is what God expects you to add.
Right.
See, after you're born again. The baby, sure, it's growing in the mother's womb, but it's not counted alive until it steps into the world. Then it starts a growth development that is real important, right? Yeah. Because it starts into a maturity. All right. Let's go on down. See? Message on divine healing, preached 1954, 12:19. See, he knew these things. If you'll read the stature of a perfect man, you'll hear Brother Branham saying this. He said, I got this morning where this fit in. On the second Peter. See, he hadn't got that before. He said he was up in the woods hunting, and he said, I got this, yesterday or whatever it was. He said, I got this just the other day to tie in with what I was preaching. Do you go back to the message called, used to be called Intervail. They got another title to it now. But it used to be called Intervail, preached in 1956. And he was talking about the stature of a perfect man. He said, God wants to use you, wants to live in you, wants to talk to the sinner through you, use you and all of these things. And see, now he's doing the same thing here. This is 1954, 12:19 in the morning. I asked you a while ago, before I said this, how many of you love the Lord? And find out you was all Christians to begin with. Because you cannot be a Christian This is not to the outside world. This is for the people of God. Amen. You can't be a Christian unless God chooses you. No man can come to me except my Father draws me, and all that comes, then I'll give him everlasting life and will raise him up at the last day. God foreordained it, foreknowed it, before the world ever begun. He said he predestinated us in Christ as sons of God before the world ever started. We've got to be, all right? Let's go on over, we'll read these, and then we'll get back to preaching. Position in Christ. Position of a believer in Christ, 1955. 2:27 in the morning. And now this epistle, the letter to the Ephesians, was written to believers, not to the outside world. This is believers. Now listen to what he said. That's why I thought this afternoon, first I'd test, then what? And see if there's groups of unbelievers and sinners. Then I couldn't speak this here. You understand what he's saying? He said, I was going to test and see if there was unbelievers and sinners. If it was, I wasn't going to speak on this, because this is not written to them. He would have preached a message of you need to be born again, in other words. All right. But now, seeing that it's for believers and believers are present, I thought it would be good if we let the believer see where he is. Now, try hard, Christians, to understand that this day that the message had been placed in the believer in positionally place. All right. Go on down, which is the message of where I think Pentecost failed, 1955, 11:11. Now we're going to speak tonight on a subject here found in over in the book of Ephesians, which is a very treacherous thing. And it's not at all sent to the unbeliever. It's dedicated, this is completely to the believer. Now go on down, because you're talking about predestination and heavenly places. Go on down till you get to the lives where you got it unlined. But if you'll notice, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints, not to the outside world. This book is sent to the saints, and the saint, the word saint comes from a sanctified or sainted person, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ. See who it's sent to, not to the outsider, but to the saints that are in Ephesus. So you cannot, now, get the point of what I'm driving at. You cannot start a growth development until you're first born again. If you're born again by a like precious faith. See, until then, you're still in the problems with like Romans 8 and 6 through 9, through there, where it talks about the carnal mind. We were on this last night. See, and the question was asked about that, of speaking of the natural or carnal part. See, Paul is telling a carnal person he needs to be born again. But then he's telling you and I that we have a carnal mind. Oh no! Well see, the mind he's talking about is up here. Now when the Bible said let the mind that was in Christ be in you, it's not up here. It's not your brain. That's in your soul by the new birth. That's the mind of Christ in the new birth. Alright? Now there's no carnality in there. Because even if it's a baby, it's still a baby. No carnality. The carnality is in the mind, of the brain. That's why the greatest battle ever fought is where? In your brain right now. Why? Because we still have carnality. Oh no, I'm spiritual. Well, okay. That's all right. Just go ahead, you'll find out. But you see, we are carnal because we cannot accept, and that's what we get to in the stature of a perfect man. When God says something, we're supposed to accept that right then. But we don't do it, right? Why? Because the carnality of our mind has been taught to not believe it like that. Amen. We've been taught to prove all things, to do this, that, or the other, or something, you know, and it just won't work. See? But we need to believe God. Amen. See? We need to come to a position. See? So the entire Bible is written to Christians. All right? Now all a sinner can do is do like it says in Matthew there, where it speaks of Matthew 5:49, where it talks about the rain falling on the just and the unjust. Same rain that falls out here, falls on the weeds, falls on your corn, falls on the good. All right? Now, it's given for the good. It's given, see, the rain is given for the bride of Christ. The true children of God. Sons and daughters of a living God. It's not given for the world, but they get the benefits. They can receive healing. They can receive all kind of things. They can receive material wealth. They can receive blessings in the world if they'll believe it. And that's why it says there, you know, if you say unto this mountain, believe and doubt not. A sinner can do that if he believes God. That's what your prophet said about it. If he believes God, a sinner can believe God and go right there. And Brother Brown said that he prayed the prayer of faith, and he said a sinner walk across the platform and be healed. Because they believe what he said. He said a sainted person come across and not receive their healing. Why? The carnality of the mind. The carnality of the mind. I believe if we ever needed a baptism of the Holy Ghost in the brain, I'd agree with that. I just don't know how that could work. You know? But we need it. We need a cleansing of our brain. We need a washing of our brain. You had never had a dirty thought? I had more trouble after I got born again than I did before. I could handle everything when I was out there thinking in the Baptist that I was already born again. I had no trouble with drinking, smoking, or anything. I just didn't do it. Cigarettes to me, take a puff or two off of it, and I probably smoked enough to make a pack out of all my life. You know, and I just quit. I didn't want it. Never did drink or nothing like that. Didn't want it. I could tell you what it looked like for beer, but I followed too many mules around the field. I'm just sorry. That's just honest. I can say it. You say, boy, no, you go ahead. You think it's life. But listen. We need to get our mind in the right channel and believe the promises of God. But to realize that first you must be born again. Before you're born again, what does he say in the stature of a perfect man? He said it's like a crow or whatever, vulture, one he uses, putting peacock feathers in and run around strutting and said, look at me, I'm a peacock. He said, that's what you try to do. He said, don't do that. He said, get born again. Get born again. Because that's who this is addressed to. To those that are in Christ Jesus. Because there's no way that an unregenerated person can't grow into the stature of a perfect man. Now go to blasphemous name and you'll find the prophet saying this, that a lot of people, and it's in the stature of a perfect man too, a lot of people have a nature-given virtue, a nature-given knowledge, a nature-given temperance and things. There's people that are good people that don't even claim salvation whatsoever. But that's just nature-given and they're natural. That's what you're born under. Moses was the meekest man in the world after his wife got through with him on the backside of the desert. It's not written of him before then. He's put on the backside of the desert with a hot-headed woman. He comes out there and the Bible said, meekest man on earth. Why? Like Brother Tom said, you tell a man in the right way, the old natural way of doing it was, when you tell a man shut up, just bust him in the mouth, and he's bleeding, he ain't going to say nothing else. Right? You know what he's going to do out of then? You come up and you tell him shut up, he's going to... See, he'll have a natural nature about him to stop doing what he's doing. But that's not the new birth.
Right.
See? That won't work. That's good. That makes you a good neighbor. Fine. But it doesn't make you a Christian. You first got to be born again. We'll get on this evening, and you can't be born again unless you first have faith. And faith is not a gift. It's a birth. The virtues are given unto you, but faith is not something just given. It's a birth you go through. That's the difference between the Old Testament people and the New Testament. That's the difference between a person that has a natural good life, a person about him, but yet those that are truly born again. Those that are born again, as I said a minute ago, before I got the new birth, after I come in this message, 2 years. And I was a deacon, I was everything else out there in the Baptist church teaching the adult Sunday school classes. And me, 23 years old, as an ordained deacon in a Baptist church. So you know they thought a lot of me. But still, I didn't get the new birth till I come in this message. Well, I didn't have no problem with smoking or drinking or nothing. I just never did do it, and I didn't have no problem with it. But I never tasted stuff you don't know what it tastes like. Right? That's why children don't do them things. Don't do it the first time. Girls, keep your body in purity for your husband. Don't do it the first time. You don't have no problem with what it's like. Can I be plain? Just don't get caught up in that stuff. Save yourself for the correct position. Why? Because you don't know what it is. I don't know what it is to drink because I never did drink. Now that didn't make me a Christian. I'm the one that said that I'm like Paul, the chiefest of sinners. Why? Because I was standing up there that close. I was standing up there believing the word, coming the message of the hour, reading six books a day and listening to two tapes. But see, I didn't say that I was born again because I come in the message. That's what most of the people of this message believe. That I know I'm born again because I come in the message. I come in the message, wasn't born again. And I say most people didn't. I'm just honest. You can say what you want to. You say you're de-Christianizing me. If you don't raise your head up, I can't hit you. Brother Moat said when he was in the military, he said they were out there crawling on their belly, you know, and they got this machine gun shooting right over the top of you. Tracers where you can see every once in a while. Brother Harris and him, these brothers can tell you all about it. You know, if you don't raise your head, you ain't got no problem. The gun is locked to shoot on that level, but if you raise your head, well, now whose problem is it if you raise your head? I mean, does the government shut down and forbid them to do it anymore because one guy gets shot? No. They say he's done what he wasn't supposed to do. He raised his head. So if you're guilty and you raise your head, don't blame me for shooting at you with the gospel. But see, listen. See, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, but it is not for the unjust. The scriptural rain, the spiritual happening, it's only for the family of God. It's only for the children of God. And you know how, you don't have no right until you get into the family. Because that's what the Bible says, repent everyone to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, and ye shall, a promise, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For it's unto you and to your children, them that are far off, many as the Lord our God hath called. Alright? See, it's a promise. That's why it says it like it does. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. You know who Elijah the prophet was sent to? Me. No, he sent to all. No. I'm sorry. He was sent to me because that's what the Bible says. Now you got to believe on the other end that he was sent to you. You got to say, behold, I send you Elijah. Because it's a promise. It's like I've always told you about my children. When I would read in the Bible and he'd say, you'll be there with your offspring. I circle that. I said, that's mine. That's mine. One by one, the children all come into the gospel. They're all right here to church today. One by one, the grandkids are coming. We got one left that's not here. I think she was baptized, if I ain't mistaken. I believe she was baptized, you know, but she's not here today. But she'll come. Not because she's my grandchild, but because that I believe the promises. I believe that promise is to me. You're praying for your husband, your wife, your children, your mother, your father. Claim it that away. Say, that's mine. God promised it to me. By these promises we read there in Peter. You might become the partaker of the divine nature because God promised it to us. He told us it's already done. It's not that he's going to do it. The Bible's not written that away. Oh, if the Lord just saved me. There's no such thing in the Bible. The Bible says you're already saved. Right?
Amen.
We're talking about last night where it says there, those he justified, he's already glorified.
Right.
Now just because you repented of your sin don't make you glorified. But it puts you in a line to start. Because before then it's not, just like the water baptism. We're not saved by water baptism,
right,
but it's a promise. There's no promise under Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Right.
There's no Bible for that.
Amen.
But there is Bible if you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You shall receive. Shall.
Amen.
It's already finished.
That's right. Amen.
That's why I believe the promise is like that I believe it, see. I believe a promise is in the Bible of the coming of the Lord, don't you?
Amen.
You know who he's coming to? Me.
Hey.
No, he's coming for all of us. He's coming for all of us if we're in the same family. Yeah. But if we're not in the same family, that's first, I try to preach what I preach, and you know I don't beat on organizations. I preach here. I'm not preaching that church over there. I'm preaching here. But there's no promise in the Bible of anything for them denominational people. And for you and I that go on the denominational idea, there's no promise. That's where our trouble is. We still got the denominational carnal mind. You say, well, I never did believe what they believe back there. Well, that's where you're lying because you still believe it now. That's where your problem is. Is that blunt enough? You know what's wrong with me today? What they taught me in the Baptist church. You say, well, you probably slept there like you sleep now. So you probably don't know what they taught back then because you don't know what's being taught now. I'm sorry, that's just the way I talk. If I'm wrong, forgive me. I'm not against them people, you know that. You know that I love people all around the world now, but the Bible's not written to the denominations. It's not written to sinners. It's only written to the children of God. Those that are in Christ Jesus. And only those that are in Christ Jesus can grow up the stature of a perfect man. They covered it. They can have, there's people out there that's got a whole lot better nature ways looking like than you and I've got. Right? But they're not born again. Why? Because they turned down this message. Now we know that a lot of people hadn't heard this message, but you know what I'm saying? If it's been presented and they turn it down, they set their own stage. I didn't. You didn't either. Don't blame yourself for talking to somebody. Just try to talk to them with love and understanding. Because the stature of a perfect man is a growth development. You've got to be born again before you can start the growth. Just as the baby's got to be born from the mother's womb before it can start as a living soul. And when he breathed the breath of natural life, that's what they become, a living soul. And the day you got born again, he breathed the breath of eternal life into your soul, not into your body or your spirit. Into your soul. Making you a child of God. Making you then into a position you can grow. But don't ever think that you get all of it at one time. I mean, I've told you over and over about it. Brother Moe preached in 1971 or 72. I know it's 72. On the stature of a perfect man, probably 71. And he preached it in 60-something sermons of a great layout of the things that I still believe today is the truth. Because it was what the prophet said. All right. Now, but I asked him when he finished. I said, now we know about the stature of a perfect man. We know the truth of the prophet's message. Now, how do I get those virtues? He said, well, I really can't give you an answer. I mean, that was as honest as honest. You know how? You ask somebody, how do you get virtue? How do you get temperance? How do you get patience? Can you buy it? I mean, is there some key that you have to let us know how to get that? Brother Tom knows this is a statement I made to him years ago. Because he was a member of a certain thing. And I said, listen, Brother Tom, if that group of people's got some way of making us better people and won't tell us how to become that, then they got a problem.
Right.
And they lay the staircase lecture down on the floor and they teach it step by step by step right up the...
Right.
laying it out in Peter there, right on the floor, written down. But I said, if they won't tell us how, then you can't keep a secret. I don't try to keep a secret. I tell everything I believe. I don't preach, well, I'm just trying to hide that from you, you know. One of these days, y'all will get it, you know, because I'm trying to hide it enough to... No, I tell you exactly what I believe, and the way I believe it, and why I believe it. And you can take it for what you want to, and do what you want to about it. But see, listen. People of the world today are getting the benefits of you and I still being here. You've heard us talk about that the planet Dorville. You know, we used to work for General Motors. And you've heard us talk about that. That they'd be ready to shut down. And then all at once it'd be up. And then it'd be ready to shut down. And all at once it'd be up. And you know the plant stayed there until all the believers retired. One of the last one that came out was Brother Tim Calhoun, and he took early retirement out of it. Now they're shutting the place down. You know God done that to give us a job? When they would move stuff out of New York to Georgia? Out of Canada back to Georgia and let us build a car? Why? Because there was believers working there. Believe that about your job and watch it work. Watch that company work until you. And all the believers walk out the door and then you'll see it shut. Why? Because of the promises of God. If we could believe that Joseph could go to Egypt, and that everywhere Joseph went was blessed, why can't we believe a born-again believer is greater than Joseph? Because he could only be anointed with the Spirit of Almighty God. He was not a born-again believer. Even all of those prophets and things, it was a blessing to have them around. Like people have told me personally, said, we didn't worry about being sick or anything because Brother Branham was here. We just go to him. Brother Dalton and him talking about it. We didn't have to worry about it. We just go to Brother Branham and ask him. We lose something, we just go ask him. It was a great benefit to be around Brother Branham. All right. But see, you understand what I'm trying to say? The promises of God, it says in Corinthians, is yea and amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. The promises of God are in God. Now listen, let's read that so we won't miss it. All right? 2 Corinthians, because I want you to get the exact scripture what it says. And it doesn't say the promises of God are yea and amen. We quote it that way. How many of you have ever quoted it like that? And thought that was scripture? That's not scripture. There's no scripture that says that the promises of God are yea and amen. You say, well, Brother Brown said it. Yeah, and he knowed the rest of it too. Because listen to what it says. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in Him. Right? In Him. Are yea. And in Him, amen. Right. Unto the glory of God for by us. See? It's in Him. How do you get into Him? By the new birth. Like that scripture about all things are possible to them that are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say all things are possible to just everybody. It says all things are possible to them that are in Christ Jesus. See, read the Bible correctly. In Him they're yea and amen. I would to God that you and I as human mortals that our words could be yea and amen. You know yourself, we can't live like that. You say, well, what do you mean? You calling us liars? No, just telling you you're human. Just saying we're human, because that's what we are. But in Him, how do we get in Him? By the new birth. Which is faith. Faith. And we get to it this evening, what the new birth really is. I'll tell you what I believe it is right front, up front. I believe in this day, because I can tie it back to Luther, because in Luther's age, it was the just shall live by faith. It was the revelation of that day. I believe you're born again by revelation. But it's revelation of the hour you're living in. You know what the new birth today is? The new birth to me was the revelation of the one true and living God as the person of Jesus Christ. Because Brother Moat kept trying to tell me, he said, I don't know what's wrong with you, but he said, you're praying and seeking, but you're not hunting for gifts. I know that. But he said, something's wrong with you. I said, yeah, I know it, but I don't even know what's wrong with me. I don't know what I'm expecting. I'm not expecting God to do miracles or signs, but I know there's something wrong. He said, you're not looking at God as a person. Bud, that stopped me. Because up to that time, and I wonder how many of you still think that and how many out there think that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a baptism of some kind of a spirit. Oh, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the revealed Word of God. The new birth has been the same in every age. That's what your prophet said. Because it's the Word revealed of that age. See, and that brings you to faith. It's not written to the world, church. It's not written. There's one of those quotes, if you'll read it, Brother Ryan said, it's not written to the denominations. Well, we was all out there, but it's not written to the denominations. It's written as Revelation 18:4, says, come out of her, my people. You can't get the new birth and remain back there. The new birth would automatically draw you to the message as quick as you heard about it. That would be your proof then. Fine. But I like what Paul said. He ran up on believers that had been around the message quite a while. Right? And what'd he say? Have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost since you believe? Or the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you received it? They said, well, we're baptized under John. He said, that still ain't no problem. He said, in other words, he was plainly saying, if you're baptized by Jesus too, that wouldn't have done you no good. Because that won't save you. But said, have you received the Holy Ghost? I asked this people to you, to me, and to all the people that would ever hear it on the internet. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you come into this message? Right. No, I had the Holy Ghost before I come. I shouted and spoke in tongues. It's all right, I'm not arguing with you about what you've done. Because I believe those things can happen. I believe in it. But I'm just asking you seriously. Don't accept the fact that you're in this message that means you're saved. Because remember, the devil believed in one God, the Bible says, and trembled at what he believed. Remember, Judas believed. Now listen, show me one scripture. I thought about this the other day. Show me one doctrine, one scripture, one thought that Judas was ever contrary to Jesus about. He believed everything Jesus said except one thing. He didn't believe his God. The only thing that Judas didn't believe was that he wasn't God. I mean, that's what he didn't believe Jesus was God. Everything else he believed. The Bible said he cast out devils, healed the sick. Of course, nowadays they're taking him out of all of the things, slowly out of the people's mind. And now you see none of these passion plays or anything that has Judas left in the upper room. They got him leaving out before the foot washing and the communion and everything. But according to my Bible, Jesus washed his feet. You see, they're saying, well, that's not right. He got up and left early. Judas was a fine fella until it come that last minute. Pretty good guy. I've always told you, the prophet said it, he didn't make it to Pentecost. Right. You think there's any difference in what Peter done than what Judas done? Now, what they done. Now, I'm not talking about the son of perdition. I'm not talking about your thoughts of son of perdition. Did he come from hell, went to hell? We know the predestination of God. We know that God knew who Judas was and what he's going to do. We know that's the truth. But show me the difference in what Peter done and what Judas done. Peter denied him a whole lot more. He lied. He turned around and cussed about it, in other words. That doesn't mean cussed or vulgarity. It means he lightly esteemed. In other words, he said he's not who he says he is. Right? But see, what do we believe? You say, yeah, but you're trying to give a hope of salvation for Judas. He had a hope. Cain had one. The Bible says, would you not have been received had you done what your brother done? God is not a respecter of person. But you see what I'm talking about? It's not written. That's why that it's so much trouble is unregenerated people. Come on, brother. Unregenerated people trying to understand the Bible. Like I was talking about the other day when we were on the topic of raising children. All the books are written by old maids and bachelors. All the books on raising kids are written by somebody that don't have no kids at all. What are all the commentaries written about the Bible? By unregenerated people. Right? And they're giving you a concept of something. See? I was listening to the other day on a thing Sister Trudy gave me about the Bible, and it was talking about the martyrs and the things. They were talking about the different ones, and they were talking about John. The Bible said he was boiled in oil, or the prophet said he was boiled in oil for 24 hours, and this Swindoll lady, you know, Pat Swindoll's wife, I guess, because it's Swindoll. And she said, sitting there with that cropped off hair and painted face, talking about the martyrs and things and what they'd done. And she said, and the story is told that possibly he was boiled in oil. She didn't believe it. Because I didn't either when I first heard it. Did you? When the first time you heard Brother Brown say John was boiled in oil 24 hours, did you believe it? No, I didn't. Because I didn't see how anybody could be boiled in oil for 24 hours. I'm honest. But you know when I realized he was boiled in oil for 24 hours and began to believe it? Was when I seen God can do all things. He can do all things. John sitting in that oil for 24 hours just as happy as he could be. It's probably cold outside. He was just sitting there just as warm. Because it wasn't no warmer than it's supposed to be and it wasn't no colder than it's supposed to be. Why? Because he was doing what God told him to do, and God was obligated to John. Not John obligated. It wasn't, you know, he's obligated because John, he had called John to do the work. And whatever come up, he'd have to take care of him. That's the promises I'm talking about. We're promised a rapture, folks. I believe in it.
Amen.
These promises. I believe in it. The same God that can build a statue of a perfect man. The same God that can birth a child. The same God that can bring us up the pyramid. The same God can walk us off of this earth. Best thing that ever promised in the book is mine. Do you know what it is? Everybody know that one? Let's stand. Anybody have a need? The altar's open. Promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am resting in His love divine. Are you? Every promise in the book is mine. Sing it unto Him. Every promise in the book is mine. Believe what God told you. He didn't send Elijah the prophet to the world. He sent him to his children. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Promise. Standing on the promises. Let's try standing on the promises. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Stand. We got a little higher, but that's all right. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. Doing what? Just believing that word. I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, stand. Anybody have a need? Stand. By these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. Stand. I'm standing on the promise. Sing it unto one another as you leave. Remember their service this afternoon. Standing.